There are two questions about confession and one that's sort of kind of possibly related. So I'm going to read all of those. What is the best way to prepare for confession and not feel like you were a broken record playing over and over again? Second, is confession a time to explain your sins or just state them? Will God punish you if you're not adding enough detail? Third, how do you come back from being broken for a long time?
Well, just one part of it I would simply say is confession is what you make of it. It is not necessary to give detailed explanations of your sins. You're coming to Christ to ask for forgiveness. Just like if you offended your good friend, you'd come to them and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. So this is what you need to do, is have a state of heart to Christ for the things you know that you've done that transgress his law of love. That's what you need to have. And so to acknowledge that is to say, you know, I've been angry. Now you could also say, you know, I picked up my coffee mug and I threw it across the room and I broke a chandelier. I don't know. The time that I usually discuss this sort of thing is before an adult is baptized, we do a life confession. And I tell people that it's not necessary in a life confession to list every single time that you've done a sin. You know, like how many times have you lied? 3,624, that's not it. But to say, to acknowledge that you have lied. But that there might be specific things, you know, if we think about our lives, we're all, you know, our brokenness, right? We're walking around broken. It means that we have stuff sticking out of us and we bump into each other and then we cut other people with our brokenness. And we get broken. And so if our conscience helps us to see those things. And sometimes it is really helpful to go through a whole story and just to cry. Just to like say, I have this really good friend and I did this and I just can't believe it. I did this. And tell the whole story. And that's okay if that's what you need to do. But it's not necessary. Sometimes we know the priest well and we're comfortable sharing, and other times we just kind of need to have more what I call a laundry list. But it's really the state of our heart that needs to be present. Confession, the danger in confession is to have it become habitual, to have it become second nature, to just say, well, I did da 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 da.
But speaking to the broken record part of it, I think Matt just mentioned the other day, you know, if the devil finds something that works, it's going to keep throwing that at you. And I'm 62, and it's easy to get discouraged. How am I going to go to confession and say the same thing? You know, Father, it's the same thing, you know, I'm hitting the same thing. It's going to be, and that's, it's okay, but it's in the admission of that and the taking of that into the sacrament where we fight it. Sitting at home, you know, and not going to confession. I loved that so many of you went to confession. That was so lovely. It was such a triumph, you know, really, spiritually. But, you know, to think that, well, I'm not going to go to confession because I don't have anything new, you know. There's nothing new on my list of things. Is a victory for the evil one, because it then makes that thing that you have get ingrained more. It's when you chip away at it. You know, Father Christopher was talking about, you know, the power of water earlier. You know, it's that little drip, you know, can erode an entire mountain. You know, well, you're eroding that sin that keeps sticking out. You're getting rid of it each time. You can hone it down more and more and more. And the reality is if you do eventually triumph over that, something else will come up. I mean, it's, you know, but don't let the repetition of what you feel like a broken record of sin stop you from confession. your priest is never, I would speak for you, I would hope, you know, Father John has never said to me, seriously, Dee Dee, can you not get over this? He has never ever said that, and I'm sure he's been tempted to, you know. But they won't say that to you because you're bringing that brokenness to them, and they are, you know, as your father to help you to grow in that. So that's it.
I wonder sometimes, there's that guy Michelangelo, he did all those sculptures, right? I wonder if he ever kind of was tapping away on this great big rock and saying, one more little chip out of the same blasted rock. And what am I doing here, you know? But look at the end of the whole process, right? Sometimes I think we have this idea, God can start acting in my life when I've got it together.
Yeah.
But something is happening when we confess the same sin again and again. We're saying, yeah, this is kind of on top of me right now, as it has been for the past, whatever. But it's not really part of me. There's a real me that doesn't want this, and I don't have power over it yet. But you, Lord, you're who's telling me who I am and what I am, not this thing, not this thing. And as Dee Dee said, you know, there's... has anyone ever had the experience? You go to confession and the priest says, no, you've hit your quota on that. Not yet, sorry, you know, no more forgiveness for that one. No, no.
490, that's it.
That's it, right. Right.
491, you're done.
But this is one of the other things that I think is very important. The Apostle Paul had some sort of sin. We don't know exactly what it is. But it bothered him. And he says in his scripture that he prayed that God take this thorn out of his side. And God wouldn't do it. God didn't answer his prayers. So when we have this image of the ego and all these thoughts and feelings in the core and the center, one of the fundamental truths is that I am a sinner. Because if I'm not a sinner, then I don't need a Savior. And who's Christ but our Savior? So oftentimes these habitual sins are God's way of helping us be humble. This is the beginning of the spiritual life, the beginning of our kind of good fertility in our souls, is the knowledge that we are, that I am a sinner. They say that every saint, you've heard of incorrupt saints, you know, like St. John of Shanghai in San Francisco, when they, you know, 25 years after his repose, they opened up the coffin where he had been, and his body was whole, except for his toe. And they say that, and I've been told this, that every incorrupt saint has some portion of their body that is not, that has corrupted.
Otherwise it's a mummy.
Otherwise it's a mummy. But theologically this is because no one of us, even the saints, is without sin. So that corruption remains there to some degree, despite God's great working in an individual. So if you're trying to get to the point where you can say, I am not a sinner, then you're highly mistaken. This is not the spiritual life. The spiritual life, we have to say, I am a sinner, and hear how I am a sinner. This is how I have sinned.
So then we're broken, and many of us, you know, we're greatly broken, and we feel like we need to come back. Like the third question said, is it necessary to be completely healed in this life?
No. There's the saint who was the alcoholic. And he never completely kicked it, but every day he got a little better. And I've been broken. 10 years ago, when my brother was dying of cancer, I learned that one of my children had left the church. And by the end of the funeral, I didn't have anything left. My husband went to the Holy Land and brought some of that back with him, and that helped immensely. It helped to know that friends were praying for us. Everybody good we ever met was praying for us. And I could think of that. When we were going through an intensely difficult time when we lived in Texas, Father Paul Wolminski in California said, "We say our evening prayers at 9 o'clock and we will be praying for you every night." And so when it was 9 o'clock in California, I'd say, 11 o'clock, the Wolminskis are praying for us. That helped. Beating the 50th Psalm, God knows we're broken. And a heart that is broken and humbled, God will not despise. You can do things with that. Even secular poets like Leonard Cohen says there's a crack in everything. It's how the light gets in. And so first thing you do is you say, whoa, I'm broken. It's the first step to being fixed. It's like calling 911 when you've had a crash or something. And you talk to your priest, and you use some holy oil, and you find a saint that speaks to your heart. And you read this, and you read that, and you say that prayer, and you go to this place, and suddenly one day you notice that the sun is shining a little brighter, and everything tastes better, and you're sleeping a little bit less, and you look down and say, gee, maybe it's time to lose the sweatpants. And it doesn't happen overnight, and sometimes it doesn't entirely happen. And that's okay, God still loves us. But we get better. And we get better because God loves us, and he knows how to fix us when we don't know how to fix ourselves.
I'd like to make one comment about the logistics of confession. You have a right to ask the priest, can I make an appointment for confession? I personally, because I'm like half autistic and my wife always says, leave off the half part. So I'm really, I don't like the lines of confession during vigil and stuff. I hate it. We don't do it in my church because I'm eccentric. I won't do it. And if you have trouble with, you know, ka-ching, 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 you come up, you got 5 minutes. If you have trouble with that, you have a right to tell your priest, please let me talk to you privately if you need to. You have that right, and no priest should ever deny you that.
Okay, two things. One, the people that we look at and think, they got it all together. They really have brought their whole life to Christ. They're united. They're whole. They're integrated. The saints, namely, who we're talking about, those folks, those men and women, if they talk about themselves, that's not what they say about themselves. Yeah. There's one of the great monastic saints. He had a really blessed death, and he's dying, and his whole community is around him. And he knows his death is coming, and he says, I haven't started to repent. Give me a little more time to repent. But he was glowing when he said it. And everybody, this is the holiest man we've ever met. But how did he describe himself? It's almost like, you know, those romantic restaurants where the lights are all turned way down low. It's really glowing little, you know, candles and all that sort of stuff. When they clean that restaurant, they turn all the lights up. And that's when you see all the dirt. So the saints, and that's the only real loss in life if we don't become one of them. The saints have, so to speak, turned the lights up. And so they see a lot more dirt than we do. But they're also, they've really given their life to Christ a little bit. So day by day, the way we need to. And the other thing I wanted to say is, in confession, sacramental confession, we confess our sins to Christ. He is the one who forgives. And we do it in front of the priest, who is the witness of the whole church. And we've received grace from Christ so that that forgiveness will be made real in us. So that's confession in the strict sense. But there's all sorts of spiritual counsel that can take place separately. And God is in that. It's not confession, but God is in that. What am I heading with this? There are certain issues, I think particularly, say, young women who might be getting into certain things, and they're very understandably concerned about them and also shy about talking about them with a priest who is a male, right? But there's some matushki in this room. There's some church women in this room. Near where I live, there's a little monastery. The abbess of that monastery was the spiritual daughter of one of the great modern saints of Romania since she was 5 years old. And she is now, I don't know how old she, the nuns will look alike, but she's certainly in her 60s. So you know that all sorts of people make a beeline to her, men and women, right? And we don't have a Geiger counter to say what happens, but we know God is in that. So I urge you to take advantage of the larger resources that the church has as well. And God is at work through those things too to heal.